Hello everyone, welcome back. We had taken a bit of a break over Christmas and New Year, so Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Indeed, Happy New Year. Hope you all had a good festive period and weren't too disrupted by the football. But of course, there's plenty to be talking about as we start in on the second half of the season. Both the men's and the women's team now back underway in 2020, and lots of matches to talk about.
Yes, yeah, so I'm just looking at the women's table at the moment for the Super League. Obviously, with some of the matches being postponed and things like that, you know, when we looked at it from the start of the season, that's above where we were aiming for.
Absolutely. We had a really important game at the weekend against West Ham, our fourth game against them, if you include the old pre-season friendly that obviously that you and I were both at, and the four wins out of four, we did kind of make it difficult for ourselves in the second half. We conceded a goal right towards the end, but then there were 9 minutes of injury time because there were a couple of players who went down for a while. And Rhianna Dean scored with her head once again, her third goal in three games against West Ham. So that was really good. And nervy moments, but I think possibly the best atmosphere we've had at the Hive for a game, because you know we were all getting nervy, and then Rhianna Dean scores, and everybody was on their feet. It was fantastic. So we had almost 1,000 people, just over 800 people at the Hive this weekend, which is sort of we've been getting. We had over 1,000 for the Manchester City game and the Liverpool game, but so this is the next highest. So it's pretty good, and we are, you know, really now looking like we are secure in the Super. I think everybody's pretty happy that we're secure now, and we're unlikely to be relegated from the Super League this season, which was, you know, the goal was to secure survival, because we are a newly promoted team with less resource perhaps than, say, Manchester United, who are the other promoted side, and with less resource certainly than most of the teams in the league. So being able to say in January we're pretty secure is fantastic. Now we've just got to start building and see where the next couple of seasons can take us. Of course, we've got our FA Cup fourth round tie, which is certainly a winnable game. It's a home game against Barnsley on the 26th of January, 1 p.m. kickoff. Tickets are available online for that one, £5 in advance for adults. Absolutely a winnable game in that one. We may see some of the second tier players play. We don't know. We'll see what happens. And then our next home game in the league is the 2nd of February against Bristol City, who we beat at their place, and they've been struggling this season. So another good opportunity to get 3 points on the board. Unfortunately, it does clash with the Spurs Manchester City game, the men's team Manchester City game, which is really unfortunate because they moved the men's game for the TV. So some of us are sticking with the women's game and some of us are sticking with the men's game. So it's kind of dividing us up a little bit. But there will be proud Lily Whites at both of those games. Another really big day for Spurs, that one.
And we've obviously got the new flag with our new logo on there that we've worked with Spurs on. So we did the Rainbow Laces event and the Rainbow Stadium, and we've had all of that. And we've settled in now. We've got the new flags, and that you had them up at the women's match this week, didn't you?
Yep, we've had the new flag up since we've had it. We always get it up at the women's game because it's nice and easy to do that, although we just talk nicely to the steward and they let us around to hang up the flag, not quite behind the goal, but almost behind the goal.
And we still have it after this weathery weekend.
Yes, we were a little bit worried with the winds as they were, but it stayed up, so it's all good. Make our presence felt there, and starting to engage with people and be a presence at those games. And it's often the opposition bring their rainbow flags as well, so that's always good to see as well.
And with the men's team as well, we've had a bit of a mixed bag for Jose's, you know, introduction to his Spurs career. You've got good ones in there, like obviously the Burnley match highlights, and not so good matches in there as well. And you know, it's typical of our season, really. You've got the ups, you've got the downs. It's the whole life of a Spurs fan again, just in a real short period again.
Well, and anybody who thought Jose coming in was just going to fix everything was deluding themselves, I think, a little. Our problems are a little bit deeper than that, I think. So it was going to be a bit of a mixed bag, wasn't it, really? And until the transfer window closes and we know what's happening with a few transfers there, we won't quite know what's going on. But, of course, injuries as well that are now affecting the team. So there's a lot of kind of unknowns, but some positives as well. I mean, Tanganga has come in and, you know, looked like a seasoned pro against Liverpool, which is a very hard thing to do, I think, for any young player coming in their first game. So, and then, of course, he's played in the FA Cup and really, you know, he got man of the match, playing on the right as well. So lots of positives there. And Lo Celso started to look bright. And Lamela looked like he may be injury free, touch wood, for a period of time. So we have got some more options coming in. So yeah, I mean, every reason to be hopeful, but let's not do that thing of expecting huge amounts just because one thing's changed.
But we have got a couple of favourable, let's say, fixtures coming up. We're at home against Norwich, I believe,
which is a lovely midweek evening game again. But yeah, so a couple of games that you would hope that we could get some more points on the board from, get some confidence up and get used to playing without Harry Kane. Although I know there's been lots of kind of people talking about Harry Kane's out forever and, oh, isn't that a worry? But last time Harry Kane was out injured for a period of time, we actually improved, I think. So there's no reason to panic at this stage, I don't think. And, you know, we've got Son and Lucas Moura, who's, you know, wanting more time on the pitch and wanting to prove himself. So let's give them a chance and see what they can do.
Do we think that Mourinho is going to try and push to get strength up in the transfer window, obviously January? I mean, me personally, I think that having a backup striker since Llorente went would be beneficial, even if it's someone who can play alongside Kane as well as instead of, or things like that. And of course, we've got our new guy now as well.
Yes, Gedson Fernandes had a brief part of the game against Watford, so still a lot to learn about him, I think. But rumours are he's a good signing and should strengthen. And
finally, we've had a rumour come true.
Well, it had got to that point, hadn't it, where it was kind of like, it sounds like it is, because they were talking about him being at the training ground and things. So you kind of feel that when it gets to that stage, it's true. But then equally, didn't Jose come out after the Watford game or before the Watford game and say there's nothing going on with Eriksen at the moment? And yet lots of people have been touting he's definitely going to Inter. So who knows what's happening there?
Like I've always said, I'll believe all these things when I see them. And no, seen Hernandez. Okay, cool. What's next?
Well, you know, if you believe the press, all sorts of things. We're still in for several people at the moment, according to various different reports. But I think we still need to look at the fact that we now know that Kane is out till April at the very earliest, potentially even missing the summer tournament. So we need to look at that, and you know, I think we've needed to for a while have somebody to challenge Kane in that position, because we know both Son and Moura, it's not necessarily their preferred kind of, they're not that same kind of player as Kane is. And also, we from the rumours that surround, we understand that Eriksen has done a deal now with an Italian side, and so will be leaving. He allegedly, when he went off at the weekend, did a little bit of a wander around and shake hands with the players, so with the fans when he got taken off, and people are seeing that as a farewell, although obviously he played tonight as well. And the other thing that we have been linked with, apparently, is we might be getting that man back again. Apparently he's not in the plans of the new manager, so our Spanish giant may be returning.
Love to have him back. I think, given the run up to and including the match in Madrid, you know, he's earned himself another stint here.
Well, and he's got that attitude that he doesn't mind kind of being the backup striker, and he'll come on and do his best when given that opportunity. And also, you know, there's not that kind of time to adjust, because he knows the team and the facilities and things. So hopefully he can just slot back into that role. So yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would begrudge him another few weeks and months at Spurs.
And speaking of players returning, how would you feel about rumours that I've seen, again, rumours about Bale being interested in coming back?
Well, who wouldn't be excited about Gareth Bale coming back to Spurs? It's a, I mean, I know it's a different thing, isn't it? He's not the player he was, and he would be coming back kind of as a more experienced player. But I think, you know, the Spurs fans loved Gareth Bale, and he seems to, you know, genuinely enjoy his time at Spurs. If he, you know, if he's looking for somewhere else and we can afford him, I can't see that he's not going to be a positive addition.
And I think the key thing there is if we can afford him.
Well, yeah. But then, the China thing's not a possibility anymore because they've got wage cap, they've got, you know, brought in caps and things now, so he can't get that huge amount of money there. He's looking like a Premier League kind of a return, and one would hope that if he's coming back to the Premier League, he'll be looking at Spurs as one of his key options.
I do hope that we pick up some form as well, because as soon as the club starts doing well again, that's when heads start turning back to us, like with the run up to the Champions League final and things like that. That's when we start getting a lot more attention,
yeah.
And for the right reasons. So I think, you know, the club, you know, there's a lot of debate about Daniel Levy and the goings on and missed signings and missed opportunities here and there and the lack of investment in the squad. But it is a long project what he's got going on at Spurs. Obviously, we've got the stadium now, and everyone's saying the last thing that we need is that investment in the squad. And again, you don't want to rush it. If you bring in four or five players, it never works. I've not seen it at a club where they brought in so many players at once. Even with us, when we had the money from Bale, it didn't quite work with all of them. And you want to bring people in slowly. And, you know, Poch was trying to do that as much as he could. And I think Mourinho's in a position now where over the next few seasons, that's going to happen. We're going to slowly start to see. We've seen Ndombele come in. These signing rumours. And I think the rebuild is definitely underway now. And you know, Poch said it was going to be painful, and it definitely has been, but the rebuild is definitely underway, and I think we're heading in a good direction.
And you've also got that thing that we are a season or two ahead of where we anticipated being at this point in terms of the performance of last season. And you look at a lot of what the pundits have been saying about that kind of cyclical nature of a team and the whole four-year thing, and however true that is, it's certainly clear that some players feel like they've been at this club for a long time and they needed something to change. For Eriksen, obviously, he's feels like he's had enough of the English lifestyle and he wants to try a different lifestyle, and that's just come at that point. And you've also got Toby and Jan potentially, who kind of weighing up whether enough has changed, and bringing in Jose has given certainly Toby and hopefully Jan that opportunity to say, okay, well, let's give it another push. But there is something about that kind of nature of change, isn't there, and the way in which it happens. And if we had been at this point in terms of players wanting to leave but not in advance of where we expected to be in terms of performance, there it wouldn't be quite such a painful process. It would have just been a natural, perhaps, kind of process.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, but now it's because we did so well at the end of last season in terms of the Champions League final, not in terms of anything else, because let's face it, at the end of last season, we were all kind of...
We dragged ourselves over the line,
yeah,
didn't we?
We were forgetting everything else and just focusing on that.
It's amazing how one little run of form can do that in one competition,
yeah,
though. Do you think the FA Cup could be our saviour this season?
Well, it's got every chance of being, hasn't it, if we can put in better performances than we have been so far. And you know, Southampton away is the next round for us, and there's no reason why we can't be progressing through from that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to have a bit more of a oomph about us than we did last time against Southampton last month.
But you've got to be hoping, you know, Jose's putting in that pressure about this cup competition being really important, and I can imagine that actually once we get back into action in the Champions League, there's going to be a similar drive around that, because those are the two competitions that we can win.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everybody loves a good FA Cup run, and whether you win it or not, a good run will increase confidence. And you know, I mean, we have a little bit of a tendency of almost getting there, but not quite making it to the final. So, you know, getting to the final would be a great thing. And, if, you know, and at that point, it's anybody's competition, isn't it?
Got to give yourself that chance. And like I was saying, the next couple of matches we've got are quite favourable matches to have in the run up to that FA Cup round against Southampton. So, you know, hopefully get a good bit of form, get a win. Don't take it to a replay, please. don't need any more fixtures.
No.
And you know, and then I think that's all January, and then bam, you're into Champions League, and we hopefully can, you know, have a bit of an engine going on there.
Yeah, I mean, lots of opportunities, and we wait and see what happens transfer wise. As you say, you know, I think bringing too many players in at once is not prudent, but potentially with the injuries that we've got, one or two would help. But then when we've got Tanganga coming in, that's a bit like having a new signing in many ways. Because he hasn't been playing and he's come in and showed exactly what he can do both at centre back and at right back. So, you know, there are signs of good things to come, and if Jose can impart that kind of mentality that teams who win have, then that's going to be, you know, key, because I think we've got the skill, we've got the team spirit. We just need that last little part of it and to kind of resolve those issues that we've had around that kind of, I guess in football, 4 years is a bit like the 7 year itch in a marriage. I don't know. You know, there's that thing about at some point there's always that consideration of what else might there be. So we're going through that now. Let's hope this season is the painful one and then we can kick on next season.
And the team have definitely got the experience now of going through to the highest level and experiencing that. So, you know, that they're better equipped than we were maybe last season and even the season before. You know, we do have that title of being bottlers, and, you know, it part of being a Spurs fan is understanding that things like that do happen to us. And like you've been teaching to your nephews, you know, it's not all about the glory yet.
No.
We're building there.
Yeah.
But I think that we're much better equipped now to handle that. And I think when we go on this big push that we're going to be, you know, building up to, I think if we can hit next season, hit it running, get some good transfers in summer, again, not too many, just a couple here that we need, and, you know, really work it early on in the transfer window and hit next season running, I think we've got every chance of outperforming what we've done in previous seasons.
Well, and you look at Lo Celso and Ndombele, who have come in and shown glimpses of what they can do. Obviously not everything yet, because they've both had injury problems at various points, but they've both shown glimpses of how great they can be. And you look at Lo Celso and Lamela playing together and the urgency that they've shown when they've been able to play together. And you do say there are some partnerships there that are starting to look really exciting. And if you choose carefully who you bring in, that, you know, you complement those and then you push on. I mean, I think both with the men's and the women's team, there is that question of mindset. I think, you know, obviously something's happened with the men's team this season that's kind of ducked that. And I think the women's team have still got maybe a little bit of learning to do in terms of recognising where we are now and how we should hold ourselves in the transfer market. We've bought in a player in January who is a loan signing from Arsenal. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that she comes from Arsenal and a lot of response to the fact that, well, in the women's game we don't worry about that quite as much because ultimately Arsenal are one of historic, you know, over the last, you know, 10-20 years, one of the teams in the women's game. So a lot of good players have played at Arsenal. But for me, the question is, why have we brought in a left back when we've got two pretty good left backs already in the squad? It didn't seem to me a position that needed strengthening, and certainly with a player who's not going to be coming in for any length of time and just wants to get some minutes under her belt, it's almost like we're doing her a favour and not worrying about our players. So there's a mindset change, I think, that needs to happen in the women's team as well, to recognise, you know what, we are a Super League team, we are mid-table at this point, and we are going to be a Super League team next season. We've started to show, you know, we've shown that we can hold our own against West Ham. Now we need to start thinking about Chelsea, Arsenal and Manchester City. And it's not going to be easy. They've got a huge history that we don't have or money in the Manchester department. Mm-hmm. But we need now to be going, OK, how do we get there? how do we do that? And to do that, I think we need to think of ourselves as a bit more of a big deal and think about the long-term progress of our squad.
And that's all part of this new experience of being in the Super League now. You know, before it would have been great to have got someone in who's got the experience, like you said, playing for a club which I hate to admit has the prestige of Arsenal. You know, to have a player from that sort of caliber to be playing alongside us, you know, when we were you know, last season, that would have been, you know, brilliant for us. But you know, we want to be showing people what we can do, what we're capable of. And like you said, having a loan signing into a position where we've already got enough cover that's pretty good, and we want to be developing and giving them the minutes, it does seem a bit daft to be taking those minutes away for a loan cover.
And I also, you know, I worry about the impact that has on the confidence and also the morale within of those existing players and within the squad. There's been a lot of talk from the managers, Karen and Juan, about the importance of training well in getting in the match day squad. But the evidence that we've seen so far from some of the players doesn't seem to be supporting that. Emma Mitchell came in and played 10 days after she'd signed for the club. And I'm not complaining in terms of she's a quality player. She scored a goal. She can bring stuff to the team, but I'm just worried that she doesn't bring anything more necessarily than the existing players, and she certainly doesn't bring anything long term, which is where we need to be looking now, given that we have pretty much secured, you know, our status in the Super League for, you know, barring any major disasters, for another year.
It is interesting that, you know, out of all the positions, because we spoke earlier about the midfield on a previous pod about how the midfield was where we felt that there could be, you know, a bit more strength, a bit more you know, experience at this level to boost and all the players around in there. And you know, obviously with Rachel when she came, she's gone to Liverpool now, hasn't she?
She has, yeah.
So you know, it's all a bit chop and change in the middle there. So I think, you know, there is still some work to do with the squad, as we'd expect.
Well, yeah.
when you're in the you know, your first season, you're building there,
you absolutely expect that. But you know, and you know, Rachel Furness was a case of, I think we didn't really have a choice in that. We brought her in on loan last minute, and she was a fantastic addition to the squad. She's the kind of player that plays with heart, whoever she's playing for, and so you wouldn't have known she was a loan signing. She came in, brought her experience, and other players I think really appreciated her on the pitch and off it. But obviously Reading, I had the opportunity to sell her to Liverpool, and for various personal reasons that seemed was a good idea for her, so she went off to Liverpool, and I just kind of feel like we've just jumped at the first player that was made available to us rather than actually thinking strategically about who we wanted to bring in. I mean, there's lots of good stuff in the middle of the park at the moment. You know, Josie Green this season has grown immeasurably against West Ham and in the North London Derby at the stadium. In fact, she's had cracking games and shown just the kind of player that she can be in the centre of the park. Moving Rhea Percival into midfield role, central midfield role rather than a fullback, I think is showing great signs for her as she probably approaches the end of her career. That's a much better position for her. So there are good signs there, and there are players, and also Chloe Peplow, obviously, who's been playing there for much of the season. I think she suffered when Rachel left. She didn't have such a great game. First game without Rachel Furness, because she is a young player, but again, that was Manchester City though, so you know, a huge team, and she's only 21, so she's got lots of time to learn and to grow. So there are, you know, there is a lot of good stuff happening, but I think as with any team, there's tinkering that can be done, and there's improvement that can be made, and we just have to start thinking about ourselves as a Super League side who have the potential to challenge Chelsea and Arsenal.
Changing the mindset of the squad and the management and just the whole team, just getting that mindset of yes, we deserve to be here and we're fighting our own. That's where we're going to be.
And again, like the men's team,
that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like the men's team, we seem to be a year ahead of where we thought we were going to be, because obviously last season the opportunity opened up because there were two spots for promotion because of teams who were unable to fulfil the criteria for the Super League. when, you know, when the changes happened. So we moved up a league a season early, and so things like the arrangements for the Hive and all that sort of thing were rushed through. So there's still a lot of work to be done behind the scenes to make things work, and I guess with those changes will come a change in behaviour from the players and the managers as well, and we might get a bit more swagger about us once we've got a little bit more confidence from those things. So it will all come, but it's, yeah, it's just a very interesting decision, and I hope that, you know, Siri Vorm still gets plenty of game time, because she has been getting better as the season's gone on, particularly from an attacking perspective. Against Reading, she scored a bit of a rocket, and we want to see her, you know, we assume that she will be with us next season and beyond, and play a role for us, you know, going forward.
So obviously not the best of performances, but we've got some good matches coming up for both the men's and the women's team. Obviously you've been away up north to go watch them play Manchester. How was that?
It was cold and it was foggy. It was yeah, it was crazy actually. I woke up in the morning and you couldn't see a great deal of distance in front of you, and I was kind of hoping that it would clear up by the time that the players arrived. Didn't really. And at one point we were thinking, just towards the end of the first half actually, we were a bit worried that we weren't actually going to make it to 90 minutes before they had to call the game off.
Was it that thick?
Well, it was quite, you know, it was quite thick. And by the end of the, well, in the second half they managed to find a yellow ball because they hadn't had one in the first half. But it was getting quite to the point where we conceded a penalty down at the other end of the pitch, and we didn't have a clue what had happened because we were towards the other end and no idea. But
heard so, it through the grapevine.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit of a carbon copy of the game at the Hive in the sense that it was 3-0 and one of their players got sent off right towards the end of the game. So a heated contest at the end. I think we need to work on our second half performances. First half, we, you know, kept it at 0-0 and did well. I think second half we seem to it keeps being the time where we let, you know, good performances drop. We made two changes to the starting lineup today, which were interesting. But by the end of the game, we were back with what we would, you know, last week's starting lineup. I think we need to have a clearer sense of who our starting 11 are and keep with those players. It wasn't the best. I mean, we played pretty well. I think. Our other problem as well is that Ash Neve is a great player, but down on the right, it's difficult for her. Playing against the, you know, the right wingers at Manchester United, she did struggle a little bit to keep completely up with them. And you're going to find that if you've got a left-footed player at right back, I think, against the best players in the league. So still a long way for us to go in terms of development, but we're ahead of where we thought we'd be already. So, you know, lots of good stuff. And we've got a good game coming up. So on the 26th, it's FA Cup fourth round for us, with a side who are some leagues below us, Barnsley, coming to the Hive. So hoping that we will have the opportunity to get some confidence again and some good points. And then we play Bristol on the 2nd of February, who actually lost to Liverpool today. So those are the two teams which you kind of feel one of them's going to go down. So we should get some points on the 2nd as well. Don't like to preempt these things, but hopefully we'll beat Bristol at home on the 2nd of February. And then we've got Arsenal away, of course. So we'll just, you know, go along to that one and see how it goes.
So if you are coming along on that lovely weekday evening to come and watch us against Norwich, keep your eyes out for our flag. Hopefully we're going to be able to get it up again on the corner of the South Stand. That's the aim. So we'll see if we can.
Indeed, and of course it will be up for the women's game for the FA Cup tie on the 26th, back at the Hive for our first FA Cup game of the year. We'll get the flag up then. You'll see it wherever you are. Come and say hi if you're at either of those games. We'll probably have certainly the for the women's game we all sit together and you'll hear us because we can be quite loud sometimes. Chris will be there for that one, so. I think so. That will be a bit of a loud one. Norwich game, we don't so often have meetups before the evening games, do we? Because it's a bit harder, but there may be a meetup, so keep your eyes peeled for that as well.
And if you do spot our flag out and about as well, do take pictures and post them and tag us on so we can see that you've seen us as well. We always love to be able to see things like that.
Absolutely. And yeah, come say hi, take a picture, engage with us on social media, and join our mailing list as well if you're interested. We've got some interesting things coming up. Of course, Football Versus Homophobia is next month, is February, so some things hopefully happening for that. We'll keep you updated. I guess the other thing we haven't mentioned, Lee,
I was just thinking that, you know, about the awards, have we?
We've been nominated for an award, haven't we?
Which is absolutely fantastic. We'd love to thank everyone who nominated us for that.
Absolutely.
On behalf of all the Proud Lee Whites. But yeah, so we've been nominated for the Fan Supporter Group category, I believe it is.
It is, yes. And equally brilliantly, Tottenham have been nominated in the Professional Club category as well. So, you know, fantastic work that they've been doing. And alongside that as well, they've also been nominated in a marketing campaign awards for the Rainbow Laces campaign, they've been nominated against brands like Skittles and things. So it just shows, you know, the quality of the work that Spurs are doing in inclusion work. So some great awards. And of course, we should remember that our co-chair, Chris, has been nominated in the Football Versus Homophobia Awards Hero category.
And I must say that is definitely truly deserved from Chris. She's an absolute superstar. She's always giving us new things to strive for. And, you know, without her, things like this podcast wouldn't exist. You know, it's all through her support. And, you know, her and Simon, they do work really closely together, and it's a great synergy from them too. And, you know, I think it's richly deserved for all three nominations. You know, the nominations are richly deserved on the, you know, the work that's gone in for the last few seasons, you know, since the Proud Lee Whites has existed.
And I mean, I think what's key with the work that Chris does is that it's involved in every kind of aspect. So she also works with Kick It Out and with various other charities, both football charities and you know, LGBT charities and things. Covers all the bases and represents each aspect in another area, and all of this inclusion work that we do, you know, you can't work in isolation. You can't be an LGBT group that doesn't work with the anti-racism groups or various other things, and you've got to be there showing everybody really that we're all in this together. And I think that's what Chris does so well. So absolutely, well, hopefully we'll get at least what I mean, the nomination is great, as you know, the cliche, but but hopefully we'll get, you know, between the three awards at Football Versus Homophobia, we will come away with something. But how cool would it be to come away with a clean sweep? We should say some really great work by the other people who are nominated, both in the same categories as us and in other categories. Do check out the work that's done by all those groups, because there's some really brilliant work being done across a whole range of people.
Yeah, there's quite a few of us, I think, though, are going to go along to the award ceremony evening as well. I think you can still get the tickets online for it, although they are selling really quick. So if anyone does want to come along to that, best thing to do is go on the Football Homophobia website, and you can find all the details there on where it is, how to get there and everything like that, and also to book your tickets. And if you are going to go along, please pop us an email and just let us know that you are, because we'd love to know how many people we've got representing us there. So that's it from us this episode. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to follow us on our socials so you can keep up to date with all the fun things that we've got going on over the next few weeks.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. But until then, it's goodbye from me, Sean.
And goodbye from Lee. It's